get wired, then you're listening to M7K. You're listening to Wired.
This is Wired Tech Podcast. M7K and Steve Your Mind.
Hey, welcome to episode number 3 of Wired Tech Podcast. We have here, of course, me, M7 King, and we have Speak Your Mind. Speak Your Mind, how's it going today?
It's going good.
Good. Should be an awesome show today. Have lots and lots of stuff to talk about. I'm on here, ustream.tv/channel/thetechchillspot. I'm also here live.yahoo.com/wired. So basically what I'm going to be doing here is setting up 2 live shows in 2 different locations so everybody can come and, you know, tune in and get a little sneak peek on the podcast firsthand. So if the live show's going here, like I said, and you can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/m7king, to get all the recent news on the podcast and everything like that. So basically, I wanted to start off with AIM. Now, as my last show, if you heard podcast number 2, and again, you could find these podcasts at wired.podomatic.com. These are from my users in Ustream. AIM just released a new update, and now I can use it. I know last time I talked about how it wasn't working for me, and I was pretty frustrated. But now they released an update, and it's working fine, better than ever. So just touched down on that, really nothing much there. But what I really wanted to get into is Dream Scene for Windows. Now, I believe this is only for Windows Vista. I know it's in the Windows Vista Ultimate, when you buy the Ultimate Pack. But it is available for those who have Home Premium, Basic, and Business. So, all you really have to do is, actually, if you type in, it's a Google search. If you type in Dream Scene under Google, what you'll do, you'll get redirected, of course, and it's the second link down, and you can just go right to www.dreamscene.org, and basically what this does is gives you a download client, and you can install moving backgrounds, animated backgrounds on your wallpaper for your desktop computer. I did this, I believe it was a week ago. So I waited to review this because I really wanted to get a good feel on how it worked and everything about it. Basically, what it does is it takes your it's your screensavers. You can choose from your screensavers, or you can download custom wallpapers. And they have a whole gallery here on dreamscene.org. Anybody on my Ustream want to go check this out? You could. And it's actually really nice. You know, you get animated wallpapers, so that's pretty cool. I had my, anybody who has Windows Vista knows about the Energy. The Energy is my favorite, so I had that as my wallpaper. So Speak Your Mind, have you heard about this at all, or are you kind of new to this?
I've heard of Dream Scene. I've just kind of held back on using it because I love using Desktoptopia.
Okay, yeah. Yep, I actually heard of that. But there was a problem with that. Something was wrong with that. I don't know. I forgot what it was, but I couldn't use it.
I love using it. It gives me a new wallpaper every minute to every day I can choose.
That's what the problem was. Yeah, yeah. Now, is that random, or can you
choose? Yeah, it just chooses random, but you can choose the categories that you want to show when you get your wallpapers.
Okay, yeah. That's what the problem was, because I thought it was just random stuff, and according to what I seen on the website, I was like, I don't know if I like some of these, so I know it changes every, like, what, minute or so?
You can change it from every minute to every hour to every week to every month.
Oh. Huh. Well, now that I didn't know that. I should have seen that on the website. I must have missed that or something. Huh. That's pretty cool. Hey, Zebra7761. I'm just introducing people into my live show here. Ustream.tv/channel/thetechchillspot. Yeah, I didn't know that. That I didn't know. Every week, month, minute, that's awesome. I'll have to check that out. Definitely check that out. So that's Desktoptopia?
Yep.
Okay, definitely check that out then. Moving on, I know you've seen the Windows Mojave commercial, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just watching this last night for like the millionth time. And it's funny because if no one has ever seen it, it's basically they group up these people here. A group of people is like four people. And they all give them a laptop with a copy of Windows on it. And they say this is, you know, this the new version of Windows Mojave. And everybody loves it. Everybody who's tried it loves it. And they're like, hey, yeah, woo, this is awesome. And then they hit it on them. This is really Windows Vista. And then they're all like, whoa, really? And then they have to admit that they like it, you know? So this goes out to show people, they tend to follow the bandwagons, and they tend to follow what other people say, and they haven't really got either hands-on for either a long enough period of time, or they just never have at all. So they just go what the public says, and they say it sucks. But this commercial pretty much proves that people aren't really truthful about what they're using. And to me, that's shocking. And I seen this commercial, I said, wow. That's really shocking to hear that.
Yeah, I'm using Vista right now, and I like the interface. I like how it runs. The only thing that I do not like is that it doesn't really work with any of my old equipment. That's the only thing that I do not like.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, the hardware and stuff like that. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, okay, I have to ask the question. Did you upgrade, or did your computer come with it?
My computer came with it.
Okay.
I upgraded, it would have had all the drivers and stuff, though, which I kind of regret.
Yeah, well, yeah, some people do regret, but, you know, I think Windows Vista is fine. I know people probably hate me and bash me for saying this, but, you know, I've been using Windows Vista a little bit after it came out. And it came with my computer, and I probably had only one problem, and I believe it was hardware related, so... Oh, Zebra 776. Go ahead. It's you can ask questions in the chat. I'll answer for you. I'm just doing my live podcast here, so. But basically, I think Windows Vista is fine. I haven't really had too many problems where I just hate it, so I don't know. I think it's working good for me. Others may not feel the same way. I want to talk a little bit about Google really fast. I know I'm kind of skipping around here and rushing into, but this. I wanted to really, you know, get out there on Google. It's the new Android. And, okay, people are getting confused. For one, this is not a phone. Google did not release their own phone. It's software, basically an operating system for cell phones. People are getting confused about this. They're saying, oh, yeah, Google just released the new G phone or the new Google phone. No, they didn't. They released the Android operating system for cell phones. It's software. You know, it's not a phone. So people need to, for one, get that straight, because I'm not sure why. Maybe I could understand why they're saying that. I mean, if you look on Google, you see a guy with a phone. I don't think he names the phone, like, what model or anything it is. So, basically... it's software, and T-Mobile is currently using this software. It's basically, it's, I guess it's going to be called the Dream or G1. I guess that's what T-Mobile is going to release their phone to be. I guess this has already happened, or nope, actually it's going to be happening on the 23rd, so in 3 days, basically. So that's when they're going to be releasing it. It's supposed to be really big. It's supposed to be a really huge event in New York City. So, you know, T-Mobile and Google going at it. What do you know about the Android?
All I know is that it's a phone operating system from Google. That's all I've heard about it so far.
Okay, yeah. And that's basically what it is. I do know that I did look at one of the unveilings on YouTube, and they showed basically how it worked and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, it's a really cool operating system. The stuff that you can do with it, the video compressing on it, it's really quick. I mean, this whole thing is really, really fast. People say that Google is gonna, you know, it's gonna be taking over the world. That's what it pretty much what people are saying that their goal is to do, and Google is pretty much doing it. They just released their Chrome, the internet browser, which I'm using right now, and now the operating system, or the phone operating system, I should say. It's not the computer operating system. They're for cell phones, and I think the HTC is gonna be using it. I think I heard on see, because I listen to other podcasts, and Mobility Today is one of my favorite podcasts. They talk about cell phones and HTC Touch Diamonds, all the really cool stuff. And I think what they said was HTC will be, you know, will be using this software. So Google's really doing it nice for themselves here. I mean, would you? I mean, if okay, if you had a phone with Google on it, what do you think your first impressions would be, for one?
I think my first impressions for having a cell phone with Google on it would be, I would be shocked. Because I think of Google as an internet web browser kind of thing and not going to the phone market.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know what? And especially T-Mobile taking advantage of all this stuff. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of T-Mobile, but if I was handed a T-Mobile phone with the Android operating system on it, then, you know, I'd be fine with that. I would actually be pretty shocked and anxious to see what Google has done. So yeah, let me just pull up. Yeah, this is what I really wanted to talk about too. This is called, okay, basically this is a supercomputer. It's called the Cray CX1. And this computer is probably it's insane. All right, I got this from Engadget.com. It's called Microsoft and Cray deliver mainstream CX1 supercomputer starting at $25,000.
Wow.
Okay, and that's not even that's the minimum. So let me just read off a description here. It comes you'll be amazed at what this thing has inside. Again, it's called a supercomputer, and this isn't the first one. They've came other companies come out with other supercomputers, but basically it comes loaded with Windows HPC Server 2008, incorporates up to 8 nodes and 16 Intel Xeon CPUs. That's dual or quad core. So this is 16 processors in one computer. Now, imagine you have 16 processors, quad core each. That's insane. Someone do the math for that, because that's really ridiculous. It has 4 terabytes of internal storage, 64 gigabyte of memory per node, and basically runs nice with Linux. I mean, obviously, I mean, look at all the stuff it has. This thing would run great with
Anything.
Windows Ultimate, anything you throw at it. Okay, well, now listen to this. The CX1 is said to be the most affordable supercomputer offered by Cray. And not to be mentioned, the world's highest performing computer that uses standard office power. Now, this is where it really gets a little shocking, because the prices run anywhere between $25,000 and well over $60,000 for a computer. $60,000. That $25,000 is a good town car or a nice sports car. Then when you
But if
start
you
looking.
notice, you can get the I think it's called the Mac Pro for up like if you get that thing stocked to the brim with everything, it's still not as good as that those specs, but it will cost you a good 30 grand.
Oh yeah. I mean, these. I think this is. Well, I mean, it does have 16 processors. Yeah, I do have to, you know, kind of think of it like that. And 64 gigabytes of memory per node, which is basically like per like little chip inside each processor, it's really it's well over $60,000. That I think that right there just is really insane. Moving on to my next, this is one of the other things that I wanted to mention. It's these headphones. These headphones, they're called the Audiobone headphones, and they're waterproof. And they're actually gaming headphones, is what they describe it as. Let me just pull it up. And right here, it's called the Game Changers Audiobone headphones. Unlike a lot of other Frankenstein headphones that other people have seen, the Audiobone 1.0 headphones from Game Changer are a tad more discreet. So, basically meaning discreet, anybody should know what that means. They hide, you know, they're kind of like low profile, less noticeable. I believe these are $189. So they're waterproof headphones. That's I guess that's reasonable. They're the kind that actually go around the head. They actually go around your neck. So I like those type of headphones. And as long as they stay in your ear, because me and Speaker Mind both know you have problems with the right side of any headphone. Any headphone. So, I think I would like those headphones a lot. I mean, they don't have their little rubber things on them, like I said that I liked. I've talked about this in my past shows. So, what do you think about these headphones? I sent
I
you the
like
link
them.
here.
I like the idea of the wireless headphones. I don't think they make a good enough or decent wireless MP3 player, or not wireless, but underwater waterproof MP3 player.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't really have any use for them
Yeah.
under the waterproof aspect. But I like the concept of the over-the-ear wire or waterproof headphones.
Yeah. And you did mention they are wireless. I did not mention that. These are wireless headphones. And they're not huge. They look like just normal slimline headphones that you'd wear every day that actually would have a wire on them, but they are wireless, which is pretty cool. And for $189, with it being wireless and all that, I think that's a reasonable price. I mean, you got the Beats by Dr. Dre that are well over $300, so you know, and they're good. Those are good headphones also, but you know, it's just basically other people's opinions and what they think, you know. So. Going away from the headphones, and any you can comment, speak. You can if you want to say anything about headphones or anything that we've talked about yet, just go ahead and go back if you'd like. It's fine. But the new BlackBerry Storm by Verizon is said to be really, I guess, innovative and different. I mean, it's just the new BlackBerry. It's just like, you know. I guess it's not just like any old BlackBerry, but here I have the page here. It's actually touchscreen, so it's, you know, I would really take advantage of the whole touchscreen and all that. So basically, this is the RIM's first touchscreen phone. It's going to be coming out soon. I guess there is no release date. I think I did sign up for email alert for when that's going to be coming out. Obviously, they haven't emailed me yet. I haven't had no word on it. But it has four buttons along the bottom. It's all black. I guess that's the only color you could choose from. Touchscreen. So, touchscreen BlackBerry. That's really cool. I mean, my girlfriend's got the new BlackJack that just came out not too long ago. And comparing it from there, I mean, this thing doesn't even have a keyboard. This BlackBerry doesn't even have a keyboard on it. So I'm wondering how people are going to get used to that, if it's like the iPod Touch or what. The iPod Touch's keyboard is really nice, awesome. Really, really nice keyboard on there. But this doesn't have a keyboard. I guess it's all touchscreen. That's what I'm getting at. So I mean, I would enjoy this. I wouldn't have a problem with this phone. Of course, there's no set price yet. It's to be determined because it hasn't even been released yet. So, I mean, they're saying that let's see what. Basically, yeah, all you can do right now is sign up for an email alert, and they're just gonna tell you when it's released. They haven't even hinted toward it or anything like that. I mean, it does look nice. It is a nice phone, and I'm sure people will be able to take advantage of this phone every day. I mean, think of it. It's a BlackBerry. BlackBerries are nice. And I like the name too, BlackBerry Storm, you know? So, I sent you the link on this. What do you think about this
I'm looking
speaker?
at it now. I had a BlackBerry before. I like having the keyboard actually on the device so you get that feedback. I don't know how I would like using a touchscreen keyboard if I was typing a lot on my phone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you have an iPod Touch or iPhone or anything like that? No, you don't have the
No.
iPhone. You don't have the iPhone, I know that.
I've used them before actually though, because I know some people who do have them. And
Yeah.
I don't really like if you type a lot. It's not very good to type on the screen, but if you just kind of send a couple text messages here and there, it's great for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the phone itself doesn't look too small. I mean, because the iPod Touch is tiny, I'm sure, compared to this thing. But me, I, of course, like I said, I used AIM on the Touch, and now that it's working again, finally, I'm able to use it more. And I'm sending texts and IMs. It's nothing too big. I mean, everybody uses the shortcuts, so it's not like I'm typing whole sentences or paragraphs here and there and stuff like that. I mean, but it's not really bad. How they incorporate it with the touch is not as bad. I couldn't say too much about the BlackBerry because obviously I don't know anything about it. But the way they've incorporated it with the iPod Touch is, I wanna say it's useful and it's not bad at all. And a lot of the times they do correct you. If you spell something wrong, they'll just automatically switch over. It's not like one of those things, did you mean, or anything like that. It just automatically switches over. It's got a really nice comprehensive spelling and grammar system on it. So it as far as the touch goes, it's a really nice little thing that they've incorporated. But as for the BlackBerry, we're just gonna have to wait till it comes out and gets released. I'm sure this isn't going to be held off too much longer. It should be going. Well, I don't even want to estimate anything because if I start estimating days, people are gonna expect things, and I don't want that. So, just keep looking at Verizon.com. You can go to Verizon.com, set up for email alerts, and that's basically the best way to do it. Don't rely on me, rely on the site. So. And I'll definitely give you updates and all that about the BlackBerry if anybody likes. I'll put a link on the show notes to BlackBerry's site to set up for email alerts if anybody's interested. So, actually, going away from BlackBerry, I thought I had another point about. I was going to say something about the HTC, but it totally slipped my mind right now. I'm not going to just sit here and think about it. So, Nvidia, I'm supposing they released a whole new line of graphics cards. Let me just pull this up here really quick here so I can accurately. Here we go. Nvidia debuts GeForce GTX 260 Core 260 gra or 216 graphics card. Basically, Nvidia's already slashed the price on the GTX 260 and the GTX 280 graphics cards. Basically, better to compete with AMD's bang for the buck beating ATI Radeon, because ATI Radeon, whoever's using ATI knows that their prices are a little bit more competitive against Nvidia, and so they just released a new graphics card, slashing the prices to better speak your mind is gonna step out for a second, so better to compete with the AMD's market, and basically specifically referring to the HD 4850 and 4870 cards. So they basically improved the model of the NVIDIA cards. They just introduced it like maybe a week ago or so, a few days ago. Because I understand when I get this news, I do my podcasts every week, so basically this happened about last week. So it's not gonna cause anybody to get rid of their existing GTX 260, but basically it's the new GTX 260 Core 216. It was up from 192 before, so now it's the Core 216. Obviously you're gonna get better performance out of that. But I'll just stick to my 8600 GTX or GT, the special edition, overclocked edition. I actually got that from Amazon.com. It's awesome. Runs all the games. It's all I really need. But the most suggested retail price for this card is about $280. So if you're looking for it, if you're looking for something that's a little higher end, and for about $280, you can get two of these actually, or I believe it supports up to three or four in SLI. I'm not sure, but this will work just fine in SLI configuration, even with the original GTX 260. So you know, just a little heads up on NVIDIA. What graphics card are you using? Speak your mind.
Honestly, I do not know because it's built into my laptop.
Oh yeah, you got integrated. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an ATI though.
Okay, yeah. See, what ATI's done is basically they released their Radeon HD 4850 and 4870 series cards, and to compete with Nvidia, they slashed prices and boosted performance. Now, I was just going over what Nvidia has done as a response to that. And you probably just caught the first segment of what I was talking about, the GTX 260 and 280 graphics cards, to better compete with AMD's slashed prices and improved performance. So what they've done was they've released a new, I believe it's the, yeah, they've released a new GTX 260 and 280 graphics cards with lower prices and basically high performance cards to compete with ATI. Now I wonder what ATI is going to do in response to this, if they're just going to go back and forth. Usually that's what happens in marketing. You can go back and forth, slash prices increases, but you couldn't do that for so long and only to a certain point before you start losing out. So it'd be just interesting to see what happens with NVIDIA and ATI getting into a little the gaming area there. And just as a note to those the listeners out there, if you want any, you know, gaming reviews, any gaming tips, I'm not that big of a gamer, but I'll definitely get the news, the gaming news and stuff like that. No problem to me. Just basically send me a comment on the show. Send me an email, m7king716@gmail.com, or even contact Speak Your Mind. I mean, he's on here too. He's part of the show too. You can give out your email address if you'd like, Speak, if you'd like to for them to contact you.
Well, you can contact me at speakyourmind2@gmail.com.
There you go, speakyourmind2@gmail.com. Any one of us, we're both the hosts here, and any one of us would be fine. So contact one of us and basically let us know what you want on the show. Moving forward, we've talked about laptops in the last episode. A little bit about Sony, the new Z series. Oh, and not to mention, it was a while ago that they had called a recall on their laptops. And I know this was a little while ago. I'm not trying to get like breaking updating news, but I'm just gonna get your opinion on this. They just released a recall, and someone over from the Mobility Today podcast had turned in their laptop, not knowing there was a recall. So basically, he did it before the recall, and it was related to the problem why they are recalling. And he didn't get his back for like at least I think it was a few months. I'm not sure because I just watched it a few days ago, but it was a few months he didn't get his last. It was the Z series, the really expensive one we were looking at the other last week, and he didn't get his back for at least a few months, and they recalled it on something, some battery issues, I guess. You know, we talked about also batteries catching on fire, and I guess that's exactly what was happening. So they just released a recall, and I guess what they didn't really want to do a recall is what I'm guessing. They just kind of called it because they wanted the customers to be satisfied, I guess, because they took so long to return customers' laptops, and they wasn't servicing customers in the best orderly fashion. They're kind of just like running all over the place, kind of nervous. And what's this say for Sony? You know what I mean? I understand products, you know, they run into some problems because I'll mention a few other products after I mention this point. But for Sony, I really wouldn't expect that out of Sony. They're a great company. And I don't understand. You know what I mean? Why they would call a recall and not service people correctly. So speak, I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but what are some of your, you know, opinions on this?
I'm really wondering what they could have messed up to have this recall, and what exactly is wrong, because I really haven't given any information about what the recall was about.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was battery related or something like that. I don't know. But I don't know. It just seems a little weird on Sony's part that they would do that. Oh, hey, Wheels, what's going on? Wheels is in my chat room. Like I've mentioned before, ustream.tv/channel/thetechchillspot. Basically, Sony's got a little bugs to fix out. Also, I was actually gonna mention another product recall. Apple has just recalled the great little adapters. Those are on my Ustream. Can see this? These adapters here with the USB to wall outlet. Basically, plug a little adapter into your wall. Plug a USB into the back. Those little adapters, they recalled for, 'cause two little prongs that you insert into your socket into the wall, they've been known to break right off, and as you pull it out of your wall, you get electrocuted. Like, I'm not talking about just a little shock here. I'm talking about when you grab this thing and you're supposed to gently take it out of your wall. I always do, but I guess people were ripping them out of their wall or whatever. And they're getting not just shocked, they're getting electrocuted. Like, I'm not sure what's going on here, but these prongs break off and people are getting shocked right on their butt. And as crazy as it may seem, it's happening. And these little prongs broke off, so basically what they did a recall. You return all your little adapters that you may have, and you buy a cheaper one. I would say, hey, give me a free one. If this is risking my life, give me a free one. You know, like, don't charge me again to buy another one. Well, not that, well, it kind of came with the package, I see that, but don't charge me to buy another one. I understand they would be giving out a lot of free adapters that would bring them down a little bit marketing wise, but what do you think about this? I mean, how would you feel if you went to go grab your outlet adapter, risking to get shocked?
If I went to go grab my adapter and I kind of had an idea that I was going to get shocked and I actually did get shocked, I would be pissed. I would
Yeah.
want to go to the nearest Apple store. I wouldn't want a free one. I would want some of my money back. I don't know.
Exactly. This is life-threatening. I'm pretty sure this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. That's all I gotta say. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen because someone's gonna pull that out really get seriously hurt, maybe end up in the hospital, something like that. I mean, what if it's someone with heart problems? They get a jolt of electricity running through their heart, and they pass out or something, or even die for worst case scenario. They're going to be losing out, so they better do something with this recall quick and distribute new adapters fast. Fast, because if Apple and Steve Jobs were smart enough, they get on this like white on rice, if you know what I mean. But enough with Apple's problems. We've heard a few of those already from my show. I want to actually head over to the laptops again, because I did mention the new UMPC. Well, I didn't mention this, but I did go over this in my show. The UMPC that was a new one, I guess, was just released. It's called the Kaleo KU860 Convertible UMPC, and UMPC meaning Ultra Mobile, Ultra Mobile Personal Computer. It's actually really nice. It's, I guess you can say it's a net top, just because it's called the Kaleo KU860 Convertible UMPC.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, they have, what I see here, three different colors: black, silver, and pink.
Pink.
Definitely, that's all me right there, pink. It's, what it says here is you can only buy them by the truckload, so I guess they're not distributing to personal homes, I guess, by the truckload meaning for retailers and things like that. Let's see what it says here. It's supposed to have decent specs. It's got a 7-inch WXGA touchscreen.
So it can be used for those art class users, the tablet users.
Yeah, it's convertible. Like I mentioned, it's a convertible UMPC. So it, like Speak Your Mind says, it rotates and folds flat to a notebook-style laptop computer. It does have a 7-inch WXGA touchscreen. So, great for art students. Awesome. College students majoring for art, maybe, or anything like that. It's got a 1.2 GHz VIA C7M processor, 1 GB of RAM, and a max of 60 GB hard drive. I would call this a net top. From these specs, I would call this a net top. And it's got a 1.3 megapixel camera and built-in GPS. Huh. There's no indication of price at all. They don't.
This is more of a higher-end net top.
Yeah, but with lower performance, because it only does have a 1.2 gigahertz. I believe I mentioned it was another net top in my last show. It was at least a 2.0 gigahertz processor. I mean, it does have built-in GPS. It's got 1 GB of RAM, which I would definitely recommend at least trying to upgrade if it's even expandable. But being on that top, you have to expect 1 GB of RAM. It's not going to be packed in there. You know, everything, it's got only much space for a certain amount of RAM. And a max of 60 GB hard drive. This would be a little higher end, yeah.
That's pretty good for a net top hard drive, because most net tops only have like a 4 to 6 GB hard drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at the solid states, or especially with the Triple E PC, those are all like 4 to 8 GB solid state drives.
Oh, I thought those were 40 GB. I must have misread that. Huh. Well, I mean, 60 GB is not bad for a net top either. I mean, either way you look at it. So
it's still a net top.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at. It's still a net top. It's only got 7-inch screen, and the touch screen is what I really like about this thing. For net top, it would definitely be between this and the Triple E PC, definitely. And not to mention, it's still related to net tops. Sony is going to be entering the net top market. So, Sony will be releasing some net tops. This may be new or old news to you, Speak Your Mind, but I think that's pretty cool. I'd like to see what Sony has to release for nettops. I mean,
I can't wait to try some of these newer nettops that are coming out. I haven't seen really any of them on the market, actually, like in stores, but I would love to try most of them.
Exactly. I've never seen a nettop anywhere, basically. I'm at Best Buy Circuit City quite often now because I'm finding myself spending more and more money, but that's not the point. Basically, I've seen what I guess would be considered net tops in Best Buy. They're really small. I didn't look at any specs or anything, so that's pretty much what gives it away is the specs and hard drive space. I didn't think that really determines if it's a net top or not. But basically, Sony is going to be entering the netbook market. I guess it's going to be teaming up with Toshiba. Oh, no. Yeah, no, actually, what this is saying is Toshiba and Samsung are also entering the netbook market. I believe there's already nettop by Toshiba, though.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand what this is saying, but Toshiba's already been entered the netbook market, and I believe Samsung, too. But Sony and Apple basically saying it's the biggest holdouts, and while the House of Jobs probably thinks, let me see, let me just read this over. Okay, what they're saying is Sony's going to be at least adding something affordable to their line of nettops, unlike the MacBook Air, which Apple released, which was how much? $2,000? Around $2,000 it was?
It's around $1,500.
Yeah, $1,500, $2,000, that's exactly what I was thinking. Let me just touch on the MacBook Air. I know everybody's seen it. Everybody knows about it. It is a net top. It is really, really small. The reason it's so noticeable is because it doesn't even have a disk drive.
That's pretty much what puts it into the net top when it doesn't have a disk drive.
Exactly. I mean, you see any laptop without a disk drive, you'd better call it a net top because it's missing a drive. How could you?
Well, the good thing about it is you can buy that drive from Apple if you actually wanted one.
Yeah, it's the USB external drive.
But the coolest thing that the MacBook Air has that no other nettop does is you can use the drive from another computer that has a wireless signal.
That's right. Yeah, you can wirelessly install programs. I forget what that software was called, that program that they had. But anyways, what you can do is...
AirDisk.
AirDisk Air, something like that. Yeah, something with Air in it. That's all I know. Basically, with the MacBook Air, if nobody doesn't already know this, since it doesn't have a drive, a disk drive, what you can do is wirelessly connect to even a PC or a Mac, doesn't even matter, that, of course, has a disk drive with the software in the disk drive, you can wirelessly install the software from that drive. And that really makes up for that. It really sucks that it doesn't have the disk drive, but being able to wirelessly install, upload anything like that from another disk drive, that's a thumbs up for Apple. They've thought, how can we incorporate something that it's lacking? It's lacking the disk drive, so how could we incorporate something that would replace it? And that does it fine. Awesome. If you don't want to buy that, what is it, $30, $40 extra dollar hard drive? Or even more, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or, well, it's not a hard drive. It's a disk drive, but...
I think it's $100.
$100?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But if you didn't want to go out and buy that, take advantage of the software, man. You know what I mean? Just... I would use that anyways. I think that's cool as hell, you know, to... being able to sit all the way across the couch. And I guess it works off your home network, so you can be anywhere you want within your house or however long your network extends.
I think the smartest thing Apple did was not putting a drive into that, because that will lower the weight of the laptop. And plus, most of the software now you download from the internet.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't really go out and buy software anymore.
Yeah, I mean, because you can buy drive, or yeah, you can even buy drivers or download free drivers right from, that's pretty much what I do anyways, right from the internet. It's awesome, yeah, and that's completely true. You really don't need a disk drive today, and they're really showing you that. And now that I think about it, since you're putting it that way, it's really not that bad that the MacBook Air doesn't have the drive. It makes it a lot more better, a lot more sleek and lightweight. I mean, of course.
I mean, I was thinking before, how often do I really use my disk drive?
Yeah, actually, I haven't used. Last time I used it was actually to sync a CD to my iPod Touch. And that's it. I loaded the CD in there, and all I did was just sync everything that was on the CD to the Touch.
See, I do all my syncing by either flash drive, or I just buy it all from iTunes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do buy their songs from iTunes, but I wouldn't just because, yeah, I have an iTunes account and all that, but, you know, I got the CDs laying around. I don't really need to buy the songs. But that's pretty much the only time that I have used my disk drive in a while.
The last time I used mine was about 5 months ago when I bought my wireless printer and I need to install the software.
Yeah, and you know, you start thinking about it. Wow, I really don't use my disk drive. And anybody who wishes to post a comment on the show or anything like that, tell us how often you use your disk drives, you know? That'd be pretty interesting. If you use it all the time, every day, every minute you're on the computer, or never at all, or hardly ever. But MacBook, if it wasn't so much money, because like we both mentioned in our last show, we're thinking about, you know, Macs and wanting to get one. So MacBook Air, not bad, not bad at all.
While we're on this talk about Apple, I heard that, I don't know if you heard about this, but I heard that they're going to release a new iMac and a new MacBook and new MacBook Pro. Prices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I did hear about that, and I didn't mention that I was going to. I believe it has the same design, or is it different?
I believe it's going to be the same design, just better performance and slash prices.
Yeah, it's better performance. I definitely know that. Slash prices, I did know that too. New design, I'm not sure. Hold on 1 minute.
But out of that whole thing, there could be a new Mac Mini. That's the thing you got to think about. They never said anything about the new Mac Mini, but there could be a new one. So, yeah. And anybody who wants to get a Mac or thinking about getting a Mac, put a comment down in the comment section. You can tell us if you're going to wait to get a new Mac, if you want to get one now, what do you think about the prices, how low do you want to see them go down. Whatever you want that to happen, just let it go.
Alright, sorry about that. Phone ring. But, okay, I'm back. And, I believe you were just saying something. I didn't quite catch it.
Yeah, I was telling them if they want to leave a comment on what they think about the prices and the new Macs. And I was also talking about if they might release a new Mac Mini since they're going to release a MacBook, MacBook Pro, and iMac.
I wouldn't doubt it. Definitely not. I would definitely not doubt that.
But I know that they're releasing the MacBook and the MacBook Pro at two different times of the rest of the year.
Yeah. Definitely, and improved performances, things like that. And you know what? When I first heard this, I thought slash prices right off the bat. That's the first thing, because you know Apple, you gotta shine up your pennies to get something from them. And now that more and more I'm seeing into the Mac, I wouldn't really doubt it. I mean, I wouldn't really expect them not to. They have great products. You know, they release good stuff. And I think the main reason why I didn't want a Mac, basically the learning curve, how to use it, and that it's not, I know a little bit around the Macs.
I think that's the biggest reason that keeps people from getting a Mac is the how long do they know they're going to have to use it to learn how to use it.
Yeah, the time frame. How long is this going to take me, and how hard is it to learn?
And especially now, how people's lives are fast and up-paced, they don't want to sit down and learn something. Even though it might only take 15, 20 minutes, they don't want to take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, they can. Why not just go out and buy a Windows machine and boom, you got it, everything you know right there. Why should you have to go out and buy something you don't know what you're doing? And that's what a lot of people think, you know? That's what I've thought. The learning curve, how long is it going to take me? How hard is it to learn how to use? And and prices was another reason. Prices, they're high, you know. I spent a good amount for my Windows machine, around 2,000.
Wow!
Of course, I didn't pay that. I didn't pay that.
I didn't even pay that, even nearly that close for my laptop.
But yeah, it was around 2,000, and I see you're kind of shocked about that. You're like, wow.
I wouldn't spend $2,000 on a Windows machine. I wouldn't. Even if it is a gaming machine, I would not spend $2,000 on it.
Well. It was, it's a gateway, that's probably another reason why I wouldn't, right?
That's true. I've had problems with gateway.
I've never had problems with gateway, the reason being, it was, so, well, obviously it's a great machine, but, at the time of getting it, I loved Windows, hated Mac, wouldn't think about Macs, and I was so biased to one side, you couldn't agree for me to touch a Mac keyboard. It was kind of that bad. And I'm sure people are worse because I've actually heard about this story where somebody's uncle or something had a MacBook and they disowned him from the family.
Wow. That's really strange.
Yeah. If you want to take it that far, you're crazy. That's all I got to say. But I wasn't that serious about it.
Did you hear about my dilemma with my Gateway PC that kind of just happened about 3 months ago?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, well, I was just on my computer. I had a video card and stuff in there. I was running my two monitors. All of a sudden, they just started flickering. I was wondering what was going on. I looked at my computer. I started smelling smoke. My computer was smoking, so I unplugged everything. And literally, the motherboard caught on fire, and now I know it's out of use. I can't use it at all because I can't even get the processor out. The processor literally molded to the motherboard.
Wow.
And I had really good ventilation with that thing too.
Holy.
I wasn't running anything that took up performance. I was just running internet browser, and it just kind of caught fire on me.
Was this an old machine? Not old, but older. Was it not brand new?
No, it wasn't that old.
Well, because what I'm thinking is you might have had to check the thermal paste that was applied on the processor.
Yeah, the thermal paste was fine, because I checked that before.
Yeah, because I remember when my...
yeah, because I check my thermal paste on my PCs quite a bit, and if they need, I would redo it, but this just kind of caught fire.
I would say recommend to check your thermal paste at least every month, month and a half, because that stuff, it's what's dissipating the heat, so it's getting hot, and it'll kind of crust over and kind of harden with the heat, so... If that's hard, you're not getting any heat ventilation. I know you got your fan and your heat sink, but it's not just the heat sink. If you put a heat sink with no thermal paste on there, you're going to run into some problems. I know my old Windows machine, way back when, never...
Yeah, this computer was only about a year and a half, and I would check the thermal paste every month to every 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. My other Windows machine never touched it, never bothered to look at anything. Comes to show, my thermal paste has been baked onto the processor, and the power supply, the PSU power supply unit, stopped working, and I was never aware of any of this. I knew it was overheating, but back then, you know, I never really monitored any of that stuff, and ended up having to get repaired a lot. And everything like that, and then once I took it apart, that stuff was baked on there. It kind of turned into like a ceramic, not I wouldn't say ceramic, but kind of like a hard.
It does get really, really hard when it gets baked.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I was like, wow. I couldn't even take the damn processor off, or the heat sink from the processor.
Yeah, see, this I could take the heat sink off, which I knew it wasn't thermal paste at that time. Because
Oh, yeah.
if it was a thermal paste, I could take the heat. I wouldn't be able to take the heat sink off. But I took it off, and the processor, it seemed like it was glued onto the motherboard.
Oh, yeah. Wait, huh? Yeah, that could just be the. If you said the thermal paste was fine, that could just be from it frying.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before. You know, and
And
that
my
could
computer
happen.
wasn't even that old. It wasn't.
That's really unfortunate. I mean, I'm glad I've never had that problem. And people say those actually, obviously, who are more toward Windows, they're more biased to Windows, but they say gateway machines, you know, they're okay, they're fine, but you know, there's always that one person that will get the problems, and those few people, because it's not
No matter
perfect,
what
nothing
computer
is
brand you
perfect.
get, you're gonna have problems.
Yeah,
The only
even with a
reason that I
Mac.
did not, that I do not am, well, that I'm not really crazy about Gateway is I don't like how their interface is, really. The way you can change the specs in the computer. They make it so
Oh.
difficult for users to do that.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, upgrade. Oh, I mean, upgrading my graphics card wasn't that hard. If that's what you mean, if you mean hardware or hardware
No,
wise.
not hardware wise, but like when you go into the BIOS, Gateway, their interface in the BIOS is just very
Oh.
confusing and
Yeah, I was actually trying to overclock my last graphics card. I wasn't able to do it because I didn't know where the hell. So that's a point. That's a point. I'll agree with that. The BIOS on this particular machine that I'm on right now, I wanted to overclock my last graphics card, and yeah, I went to all the, you know, the places where I was supposed to. I went to the hardware monitoring, blah blah. Those who know how to overclock, I don't need to explain it really, but. And I tried messing around with the gigahertz and the voltage, and I didn't really know where to go. I mean, in order to overclock, I was like, well, I don't know. And I thought it would be fine, but I don't know. Didn't really seem like I knew where to go, so I just didn't mess with it. Now I got this new 8600 GT Special Edition overclocked right off the
The newer gaming gateways are a lot better than the older gaming gateways. They're a lot easier to overclock and stuff.
But this 8600 GT right off the manufacturer, right off, what am I trying to think?
Overclocked right off the shelves.
Yeah, right off the line, right off the production. That's what I'm thinking. Right off production, came from the factory, already overclocked, pre-overclocked. So it's really nice. I don't have to go around messing around with anything now. So you know, it worked, you know, good heads up to Nvidia. I mean, that's really nice that they did that, but the problem that I did have, no, actually, it's what I thought I would have. I was actually gonna get the 8800 GT, and I didn't know if it was gonna fit. I mean, because if you've ever seen one of the graphics cards, they're huge.
Yeah.
They have like two ventilation grills on them, and they're huge. I'm actually gonna save a little bit about Nvidia a little more for next week's show, just so I don't get into it too much now, because it's something that I want to touch on for next week's show. You know, and it's just basically Nvidia. I think they should size them down, and that's the last point that I want to make about Nvidia, because I don't want to give out too much before next week. One last topic before we wrap the show here, before we wrap up. Is the new Internet Explorer 8 beta? Just I believe yesterday, I installed this beta by Internet Explorer, and by no means am I an Internet Explorer fan. Frankly, I hate Internet Explorer. The reason because it's really slow, interface blows, and lags. Like, you know, when I'm going to websites, it's doesn't load. You know what I mean? I'll open up Google Chrome here and boom, snap right off the bat.
And a lot of the times Adobe Flash does not work, or Shockwave for that matter, will not work with the Internet Explorer.
And yeah, you're right. It's the new Java update, the player.
It doesn't work.
Java player doesn't work at all. I tried installing the plugin. It says you're missing the plugin. And so I said, okay, whatever, I'll install it. Even though I've had the plugin for other browsers and I know it's worked. And I go and install it. I go back on the website. You need Java plugin. Click here to get plugin. Okay, I just installed the damn plugin. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't know. And then it says after the plugin has finished installing, click here to restart. It's self-explanatory. You click, it restarts. Same thing. Java plugin is not installed. Kept going back to the same crap, and it was just really, it's really ridiculous that it's Internet Explorer is a part of Microsoft. It comes with your machine. Why would it not work properly? And that's not even the top of it. I was trying out the new beta, Internet Explorer 8 beta. I understand it is under beta.
I've tried that.
But it's, I'm surfing the web, you know, on YouTube, my normal routine, and it's crashed, boom, gone, closes instantly.
Yeah, when you first started talking about it, or before we actually started the show, I downloaded it, the beta.
Yeah.
Been using it the whole show. I've never had a web browser crash more than it has in the past hour.
See, do you understand? I was actually going over this with you before the show, and I said it crashed 4 times in about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
I can't even watch a YouTube video. It lags so badly, I cannot watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, on YouTube, exactly my point. I was on YouTube, and it's skipping. It won't even load. You know how it loads the player before it plays?
Mm-hmm.
The little progress bar or whatever?
It will not load.
On the YouTube. It doesn't load. That little bar doesn't move. It'll go to a certain point and stop. Then I'm always referring back to Google Chrome, and no problems there.
I'm using it, too, and I have never had a problem with Google Chrome yet.
And
even though Shockwave does kind of, like, every maybe couple of days, it will crash once.
Oh, crashes, right? And then it says, oops, seems like your Shockwave player has stopped working or something like
but
that.
Then you can just refresh and it works again.
Exactly.
You don't have to close the browser, restart, and all that stuff.
Exactly. The browser does not close. That's the thing. So if you have other tabs open and stuff like that,
you will not lose your progress on those tabs.
Yeah. Google meant to do this. They meant to have independent tab processes or what's the word that I'm looking for? Yeah, basically the processes. And each tab works as individual separate processes under your task manager. So if you ever open up your task manager, you'll see Google Chrome opened probably 4 or 5 times because you have different tabs.
Yeah.
And they're independent tabs. So if you open up a virus site, whatever, under that tab,
it'll close it right away.
It's exactly. And it's not going to spread to other tabs. It's not going to spread to your computer because basically what happens is Google Chrome is independent, its own thing, and if it needs to close, it will close right away if it needs to. But most occasions, whenever I have a problem, and that's, like I said, almost never, it's just the one tab. And you can refresh the tab, and I believe 9 times out of 10 you get your tab back. Does it refresh your tab? I've just always closed the tab. I've never tried refreshing.
The thing I like about Google Chrome that I learned over the past week is that I've been using Google Chrome since it first came out the first day. But in the past week, I've noticed whenever I log into a site, Google Chrome automatically makes it HTTPS.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I've noticed that, too.
No matter what you log into, it automatically puts it under a secure thing.
Yeah, it's always secured. That S is secured, HTTPS. Yeah, everything you log into is, except my mail. Right now, it's not doing HTTPS or HTTPS for my mail.
It does it for my mail. What mail are you using?
I'm using Google Mail.
Oh, then it doesn't use it for Gmail, though.
Yeah. I mean, because I think Gmail has its own thing in it.
Gmail's already secure. You don't need to do HTTPS for that.
Yeah, exactly. But I believe it was. Oh, especially does it on my when I check my bank account status, my balance for
Oh
Bank of
yeah,
America.
that's a big deal.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. And I wouldn't doubt that. You know, I would expect that out of Google and any web browser for that matter to log in me and secure.
This is the
But
first
I'm
web
glad.
Browser I've actually seen it automatically make it HTTPS when you log in, which is a
Yeah.
great feature.
I'm glad. I was just gonna say I'm glad that Google really does that HTTPS for secured web browsing, and the whole independent tab situation with each process, I think that's really cool. Your whole web browser is not going to crash if one thing happens. So, really awesome for
And
Google
the
for
thing
that
I
stuff.
like about it is a lot of times, even if you do have a web browser that each tab is independent process, it sometimes will still kind of close the web browser.
Oh, has it happened to you?
It has happened to me that one time it will close the whole web browser. But that's only because I've had some wrong things kind of messing up.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, if it has to close, it will, if there's something wrong. But, I mean, it's never happened to me. It's only one tab that made me have problems, and it
I
is.
love how you can drag the tab out and make a new window. That's my
Oh, yeah,
favorite
make the
thing.
new window. Oh, that's awesome. Definitely make a new window. And then you can also regroup, too, by just sliding it right back.
Yep.
What was I gonna mention here? Yeah, I believe it was about the tabs. I can't even remember right now. Yeah, the problems that Google Chrome seem to center around. The only problems that I've been getting is Flash or JavaScript related. And I'm not saying that's all the time, 'cause like I said before, it's not perfect. Things are not perfect. You almost never get a perfect piece of hardware or software. So, it's a little not bad, but definitely not bad. I mean, Google Chrome is awesome. Anybody who doesn't like Google Chrome, what are you using, I think it's the best web browser now.
I would like to know what other people are using.
That's what I, yeah. So if anybody wants to send an email, again, my email is m7king716 at gmail.com. And speak your mind, your email.
I'm speakyourmind2@gmail.com. And
Both
that's
using Gmail.
speak your mind, not like the
Oh, that's
YOUR.
right.
It's just you are.
That's right. We didn't mention that. And that's also for youtube.com/speakyourmind1.
Yeah, it's one. Yep.
Yep, it's one. Okay, so speak your mind one, that's UR and not YOUR. So basically your IM abbreviation. So, oh, and I also have that in your name in the show notes. So anybody who wants to refer back to my past show number two, I also have his name in the description, so you can just refer to that.
The last
But
thing
yeah,
I want to
definitely.
talk about is it's still about Google Chrome. It's something that I would like to see. I don't know if anybody else would like to see, but I want to see media player support.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know what? What I like to see is add-ons. I haven't seen any add-ons for Google Chrome yet.
I think that's what Google was staying away from, the add-ons. Because they have Firefox that does the add-ons, but I do not really want the add-ons in Google Chrome. They wanted to make the cleanest browsing experience you could have. And with the add-ons, it kind of covers up the experience.
Yeah, if you look at it that way. But what I would like is I know my last browser that I used to use, but I don't use it anymore. It was Maxthon.
I've
And
used that.
Maxthon is, yeah, it's a nice browser. What you could actually do with that is actually have an add-on for Windows Media Player right into your browser.
It didn't
I thought that
work.
was cool. Oh, no?
It never worked for me.
Oh, now that you mention it. No, I think it has worked for me.
Anytime, like, you know how you go to a radio site and you have to use that Windows Media Player plugin?
Yeah.
I tried it with Maxton. I had the thing installed. I tried it with Firefox. I had it installed. The only thing it will work for is Internet Explorer. I do not know why.
Yeah, but Maxthon is built off of Internet Explorer's build. So it's basically based off of Internet Explorer.
I don't get why it didn't work then. I don't know.
Yeah. The build is actually from Internet Explorer's build. It's basically what it's doing. But I don't know. Next time was good. Google Chrome is awesome. I'm using this right now, and I
Google
won't
Chrome
stop
is
using it.
fast. That's all I have to say.
Oh, it's probably the fastest I've used. It's faster than Safari, I'll tell you that.
It's fast and clean.
And
That's
if.
all it is. That's the best.
Yeah, I actually do like how it's clean. It's really good. It uses the Windows Aero interface. If you have Aero enabled, the clear glass look effect. It's really awesome. Those who, if you broadcast on Ustream, use this for your Ustream. It doesn't use much bandwidth as any other browser.
And the good
It
thing is,
uses
it
low
takes up
profile.
that separate process, which will stop the Ustream crashing, because I know when I used Firefox, I would have a lot of crashing on the Ustream.
Yeah.
This will not take up, it will not let it crash, because it's on a separate thing. It's not using
Yeah.
every other tab.
Exactly. So, say if it's just Ustream, it's just that tab that will go. And anything else that you have open, you're fine. Just like I said, individual processes for each tab. Go open up your task manager right now, and I bet you'll see at least four or five different Chrome.exes open.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool. I didn't really know what that was at first, but I said, hey, wait a minute. And then my JavaScript or my Flash player crashed, and then all my other tabs were fine. I was like, wow, individual tab processes. Pretty cool. Hey, we're about almost 20 minutes over our time here. We actually kind of went in on a nice rampage here on our show.
Okay, well, the last thing I want to say about Google Chrome, I know we got to finish this. But if you
What?
press Shift Escape, you can open up the Google Chrome Task Manager, which will tell you how much memory each process is using.
Whoa, how'd you find that out? I didn't even know that.
I found it out through, I don't know. I don't even know. I was talking to somebody and they said press Shift Escape.
Cool. Yeah, looking at it right now.
And so it's
Looks
Shockwave
fun.
Flash that uses the most, always.
Yep, I was just gonna say that. Plugin Shockwave is actually using 188K for me, almost 189K. Yeah, 189K now. Shockwave, I don't think that's too bad, but that's cool. I'll have to find out some other shortcuts for Google Chrome. Maybe we can share them. Or anybody else who has any shortcuts or any cool things about Google Chrome, email me, m7king716@gmail.com, and speak your mind. I'm sorry, what was your email again? I cannot remember.
SpeakYourMind2@gmail.com.
I was going to say SpeakYourMind1.
That's my YouTube.
Yeah, I get confused with that. So yeah, it's SpeakYourMind2@gmail.com and m7king716@gmail.com. And if you want to participate live in my podcast every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, come down to ustream.tv/channel/thetechchillspot. You can go to live.yahoo.com/wired. I tried justin.tv today, but it wasn't letting me work. It wasn't letting me broadcast.
And I'm also going to start doing my broadcast also on a weekly basis.
Do you have your URL planned out for that?
Yep, mine's going to be ustream.tv/channel/AlexMurdochLive, because that's my name.
There you go. Alex Murdoch Live, search him on Ustream. And if Justin.tv decides to work, keep checking in on that every Saturday. It's Justin.tv/wired. And this is episode number 3. Really nice. We got almost 22 minutes over our time, so that's pretty good. We went in kind of a nice deep discussion here. And always email me if you have any questions at all. This is Wired Tech Podcast. You're listening to this. It comes out every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
My computer
And
won't sync to
thank
my
you,
hardware.
I need help.